Hey, hello, Hot Flash fans. Big news. We've taken the heat to YouTube. Join us at Hello Hot Flash Podcast for empowering conversations, laughs, and a community that's as vibrant as you are. Subscribe, comment, and let's redefine midlife together. Hello Hot Flash Podcast, where we help you control the midlife change. Again, head over to YouTube and search for Hello Hot Flash Podcast. See you there. Hey there, I'm Stephanie Shaw. Welcome to the Hello Hot Flash Podcast, where midlife women can learn from guest experts and authors who discuss menopause and all that comes with this new chapter in our lives. Hello Hot Flash, where we learn to control the change and not let the change control us. Hey there, welcome to another episode of Hello Hot Flash, where we help you control the midlife change. Our guest today is Dr. Rihanna Taktikos, doctor of physical therapy with a specialization in pelvic health. And I was doing some research for a friend and found her. And then I started hearing all these amazing things about her. So I wanted to have her as a guest on the podcast. So we're going to start by kicking off the conversation with you telling us a story of maybe an experience from your journey that led you to supporting men and women in this area.
Yeah. So actually my journey for pelvic floor therapy started in PT school. In PT school, we are given one lecture on pelvic health, which is crazy because it's a 3-year doctorate program and somebody comes in one time to talk about pelvic floor therapy. So the lady that came in to talk to us was like, oh, there's these muscles and they're like, nobody knows about them and they're down in your vaginal and rectal area. And you don't have to like pee yourself. And I just thought that was like so interesting because like every older woman I know pees themselves, my mom, my grandma, you know, everybody that's had like any kids pees themselves. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. And then she was talking about just like how women don't have to be in pain during pregnancy and all these things that we kind of think are normal and our society has created as normal that physical therapists can help with. So anyways, after that lecture, which was like pretty early on in PT school, my first year, I decided to take it upon myself to do like observations and clinical experiences and actually take some of the clinical coursework for treating pelvic health while I was in PT school, which is interesting because I was one of the only students to do that. And I'm going to these like seminars all over and I'm like, oh yeah, I'm still a student. They're like, what? Okay.
Why are you here? So,
yeah, exactly. So it was really interesting, like from very early on with my like clinical observations, I just saw like how life-changing pelvic floor therapy can be. Women and men are not going out in public and not doing things like societal things, going to the grocery store and going to like events with their friends and family because they're worried about peeing themselves or how many Depends they're going to have to bring or like things like that, that I just found was so interesting and so life-changing once you're able to change them and make a difference, that people are kind of not as depressed anymore and able to kind of regain some of those things that they had kind of lost. Just, we don't really think about, like, we kind of take it for granted. I feel like the people that don't have pelvic floor problems, like you pee, you poop, you don't think about those muscles.
Right.
And then you have a problem and something happens and it can really change your life dramatically. Like, I mean, people won't go to the grocery store. People won't kind of do those kind of normal things because they're worried about the bath. Or I have all the, a lot of my old ladies, they know where every bathroom is.
Yes.
Sure. I just, case, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's funny you say that because knowing that every bathroom, I've heard several people say that. Oh, I know, it's right there. I'm like, how do you know? We haven't been in years. That's the first thing they do when they walk in because it becomes a problem. It alters your life and you have to make so many changes and adjustments. So people may not even understand the pelvic floor. Like, talk to us more about the biology or the physiology around it.
Yeah, I actually have like, oh, is this like a...
So we'll do video and audio.
So okay. Folks, so I did bring a model.
They can go to YouTube and check it out on YouTube as well.
Okay, perfect. So I did bring a model. So the pelvic floor, actually our muscles kind of in the pelvis area. So if you were to think about like your top kind of hip bones, The pelvic floor are muscles that kind of sit in the middle of those top hip bones, maybe that front hard pubic bone too, some of the muscles connect to. So a lot of the pelvic floor muscles actually connect to the hips. They connect to that front hard pubic bone, some of the low back and like the tailbone and sacrum area, the pelvic floor muscles kind of connect to. So they work as like a deep inner core. They work with some other muscles as well. There's muscles in the abdominal area that they work with as well. Some of the low back muscles, and actually our diaphragm, our breathing muscle, helps work with the pelvic floor too. So those muscles make up like a deep inner core. They can help support like our internal organs. They help with controlling like your sphincters, like your rectum and your vaginal sphincter and your urethra. They help with like sexual function. And then the muscles actually act as like a drainage system for our lower body as well. So they act as like a sump pump and kind of help manage the lymph throughout the body as well. So they're very interesting muscles that most people don't even know exist.
I didn't know about in the back area. I didn't know that was part of it as well. So I'm learning.
So they kind of just make up that deep inner core and kind of help support, like, if you're a woman, they would help support like your bladder and your uterus and ovaries, those kinds of areas. If you're a male, the prostate sits in there as well and can kind of help support with the pelvic floor.
So what happens to the pelvic floor as we begin to age and after menopause?
Yeah, so just like any muscles, as you age, and I'm only in my 30s, but I'm starting to experience this.
You're like,
the muscles
no.
get weaker. Yes, I know. I'm like, oh, geez. I've had a few kids too, so that doesn't help. But so muscles just generally get weaker as we age. The things kind of get more stretched out, or things get tight, and you kind of have some of those arthritic changes in the bone, which can kind of affect how the muscles support the bones. But with the pelvic floor muscles, you also have the component of menopause, and that's the large hormonal change within the body. And so the pelvic floor is really affected by hormones as well. And with that hormonal change, you can have the decrease in estrogen, which helps kind of lubricate the tissues in the vagina, especially like right around the like vaginal opening, and can help bring blood to the area. So if you're losing estrogen, you're losing some of the blood supply and some of the elasticity to those muscles, which can make the muscles not function as well, which then can lead to some of those common symptoms of, as we age, we start to leak urine, or you might develop like a prolapse, or like some kind of like, maybe you don't even know it's a prolapse, but that's like a heaviness within the vaginal canal or the rectal canal.
Can you feel a prolapse, or was that something your doctor has to tell you?
No. So typically, yes, I can feel a prolapse. Occasionally, if it's very slight, you don't feel it as well. But I actually do, like, for prolapses, feel like I can feel them sometimes better than the OBs, because OBs typically have you laying on your back in a position where if you didn't have a pretty significant prolapse, sometimes you can't feel. Whereas I do a standing assessment with a mirror and can actually like assess the prolapse standing, which is kind of when usually people feel it. It's like a heaviness within the vaginal canal. Typically people get those symptoms like later on throughout the day after they've been on their feet all day and things like that. So my assessment for that's a little bit different than a typical obese. Some obese do assess in standing, but a lot of them just assess on your back and say, no, you're good to go. You don't have anything. And then they come here and they're like, I'm like, you might. I don't typically like grade them the same way, because to me, it's not as important. It's, we can kind of hopefully change the symptoms, and maybe not the appearance, but the symptoms. And so if we can get you some symptom relief, it doesn't really matter what the grade is, you know?
So are there symptoms besides incontinence? Like, what other symptoms do women often feel?
Yeah. So especially with menopause, you get vaginal dryness a lot. I know a lot of times people are taking like a topical like estrogen cream or something like that. So you can have vaginal dryness, which can lead to pain with like intimacy and things like that. So sometimes I also like to offer some kind of natural like lubrication things because not everybody's comfortable with taking estrogen or using estrogen, even though the research says that it's not absorbed like systemically throughout the body, but that's a personal choice, you know? So, I do have like products that I recommend, but then also sometimes working on those muscles right at like the vaginal opening that typically do get more like dry, we can kind of change. And then by giving exercises, we can help bring blood to the area too, which can kind of help with that like vaginal dryness and lubrication. So a lot of times it's pain with intimacy. You also have hormonal components of constipation sometimes. And so sometimes people develop like hormonal like constipation after menopause, which is not always directly a pelvic floor issue, but okay. Usually if it's chronic, it turns into a pelvic floor issue because you're not able to like empty all the way, or you're not getting the sensations and the pelvic floor is getting stretched out. So there's some changes that can happen to the pelvic floor after you have like prolonged constipation. And then also like fecal incontinence. So everybody always talks about like urinary incontinence and urinary urge and frequency. So you don't always have to be leaking urine either to have some kind of like urinary problem. Sometimes it's like, oh, you get a strong urge to go to the bathroom and you're not able to hold it off and you have to go right away, which should not be happening. And then urinary frequency. Sometimes I have patients that are like, yeah, I just go to the bathroom every hour. I'm like, oh, even through at night, they're like, yeah, I wake up times at night. I'm like, oh, that's awful. So if you've gone through menopause, you shouldn't be waking up more than, I strive for one time per night, but okay. 1 to 2 times per night max, 2 would be like my absolute max. So if you're waking up more than that to go to the bathroom, that's kind of a problem as well, even if you're not like leaking urine. But then you also have fecal incontinence. So when you lose like elasticity of the pelvic floor and it's not as strong, you can also have the leakage of stool or even gas. Sometimes people aren't able to control their gas, and that's something that I can help with as well.
You're blowing my mind right now for a couple of reasons, because the reason that I initially got in contact with you, like that person, I'm like, oh, they have that. And then a couple of things that you mentioned, I never even related it to pelvic floor because I'm thinking vaginal area only. So this is amazing. So to Kegel or not to Kegel?
I'm not going to say no. Okay. However, there's a time and a place for it. So the pelvic floor does not function solely as like a one muscle contraction. We have very little muscles in our body that actually are just like, oh yeah, we're just going to use that muscle for that thing. So there's a lot of other muscles that help support the pelvic floor and help support that Kegel. I like to make sure everything else is strong as well. Okay. And I'm also going to say it's not always a strength issue. Sometimes the muscles in the pelvic floor get really tight because they're weak, but then they tighten up to kind of help support all of those things, all your organs, or if you've had a hysterectomy, your lack of organs. Sometimes those muscles get tight and they're not able to fully lengthen, which can put extra pressure on the bladder, can increase pain with intercourse and things like that. Not saying not to Kegel, but there is a lot of other factors that factor in, of course, the hips, the how you can move the pelvic floor and kind of coordinate. There's a coordination piece of like, can you activate this muscle and this muscle at the same time to bring the pelvic floor up or whatever? And then the breathing muscle, the diaphragm, also works with the pelvic floor too. So you kind of have to make sure everything's coordinated well before you
like a real thing.
Yes, it's not. Yes, I very rarely just like give somebody like, oh yeah, do Kegels. And most people don't do their Kegels right. Most people bring in some of their butt muscles, some of their tummy muscles. They're not able to really just isolate the inner like vaginal or inner rectal muscles. Typically, that's not the approach that at least I take.
Yeah. So in a conference in Canada, and the pelvic floor person said that, I'm like, what? That's all you need to do, right? In my mind, because I was ignorant to all of the things that are going on down there that we need to support. This is some really great information. So I'm going to back up a little bit. You talked about standing up and looking down there. So should we at home be taking a mirror and looking at our vaginal area?
You
and
might get scared if you do that. You're more than welcome to look down there. But not my typical approach, because you might not know what you're looking for.
Okay. You know, once again, too many conferences, too many books. Oh, you should be checking down there. I'm like, what am I looking for?
Yes. I mean, I think it's always good to know what it looks like. Also, there's a component of just being a little nervous of what you see.
Yeah.
Because things might be hanging a little bit lower. You might see something in the vaginal canal, or something might look different, especially if you've had kids and as you age, things get weaker and things like that. So not always a bad thing to be looking, but you might scare yourself when you do look.
I don't think I've laughed as long on an episode. That was funny, because I have so many visuals. I will tell you, my body.
Oh, yes, I'm sure. In
different ways. And I'm thinking, everyone's going to be driving down the road, doing Kegels, listening to this episode.
Yes.
But you may not need to do them. You need to make sure you see a pelvic floor or a therapist first.
Correct.
So you talked about this interconnection of our entire body. Talk to me about why pelvic floor therapy is so important and how it interconnects with our health overall. Physical therapy, urology, gynecology, or does it impact our heart or our lungs? Why else should we be supporting our pelvic floor besides just the stuff that we don't want to have, like peeing on ourselves?
Yeah, I definitely think that as country, we should all have some type of pelvic floor assessment, especially as women. So even if you haven't had kids, but you've had abdominal surgeries, or you're going to be going through menopause, there's so much that we can teach you as pelvic floor therapists to kind of either prep for, the later stages of life, or kind of get you out of some of those symptoms. Would I say that they work directly with other organs? Not necessarily. However, I do see people that have had gallbladder dysfunctions and their gallbladders removed, especially in the 80s and 90s when they did big slashes and not laparoscopic, or hernia repairs and things like that, that have pelvic floor dysfunctions afterwards, because some of those muscles, the diaphragm, which is kind of at the bottom of the rib cage, works directly with the pelvic floor. And sometimes that gets impacted with some of those abdominal surgeries. I will say that back surgeries as well, sometimes all the nerves that innervate the pelvic floor are connected or come out from the back in the sacrum. So if you've had any injury to the low back, even the mid back a little bit, some of those muscles can get very tight and can kind of impact how the nerves are functioning, which can impact kind of pelvic floor function. And then same thing with hip replacements and things, a lot of the muscles that they cut into for a hip replacement connect into the pelvic floor, and then those muscles are weak for a little bit because you're rehabbing them. So sometimes people develop pelvic floor symptoms after hip replacements. So it is very intertwined with other things, and you might not even stents too. I've seen a few men who have gotten stents put in and then develop urinary incontinence afterwards. So even though they had a kidney procedure, they're developing something in the urinary tract. So I think, I don't know if I answered your question well.
You did.
So there is a lot of other things that can kind of connect in to being related to pelvic floor stuff. I also think that our medical system could be doing a better job of recognizing these symptoms and these things and not creating them as normal, oh yeah, you're 70 years old, you pee yourself, what do you expect, kind of things. Be directing people to services a little bit better, and that includes urologist and gynecologist and things like that. I think when people are in their office, a lot of times they're looking for big picture items, cancers and things like that, and that might not always be the person's concern. And so some of these other things, like we could help and we could kind of help support like the urologist and the OBGYNs and things like that as well, just by, you know, collaborating together and knowing that like we can help, you know, with some of these other things that aren't the big picture items.
Yeah. First of all, that's really important what you said, that collaboration needs to start to happen. And just like you said, when you started in your physical therapy, you had like what you said, an hour or some report on pelvic floor health. Well, the same thing is with a gynecologist. So they only have a very, very, very small amount of training as it relates to menopause. So our system is broken. Our system is broken in the idea around there are things that we can do in order to serve women that do not always equate to them taking a pill. Yeah, you're right. I'm just happy that you brought that up. Real quick, kidneys. So if someone continues to go to the doctors thinking there's something wrong with their kidneys, could it be pelvic floor related?
It could be. And it kind of depends. So if you have like a kidney stone or something like that, that they can see, you know, typically that's a kidney stone. But if they have to go in and physically remove them, they might create scar tissue in that area, which can sometimes impact how the pelvic floor functions. Also, when you're having like kidney stones or you're having like kidney dysfunction and you're not peeing well and getting all your urine out, maybe you're retaining fluid or you're having trouble like kind of relaxing and kind of getting everything out, it initially probably is not a pelvic floor issue, but if you go on long enough, the pelvic floor learns not to empty the bladder well and to kind of hold that area as tension and support. So it can create a pelvic floor issue if you go on with having those bad habits for a little while.
This is just flooring to me.
Yes, it's so interesting.
To me, it is. It's very interesting because, again, I'm looking at the perspective of I'm getting older. I know older people who are suffering. I mean, seriously suffering, getting up 4 or 5 times per night, going from doctor to doctor to doctor. And no one ever says, have you tried pelvic floor therapy? And based on what you said, it's you like boom, 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 hit every single complaint that the person has. And no, none of our medical doctors are responding in the same way. I always say, I always kind of put that disclaimer out there. We need our medical doctors. If you're having a heart attack, if you have cancer, but there's just this missing education piece that I wish we had in our country. Before we started, we were talking about in Europe, the NHS is starting pelvic health clinics to help tens of thousands of women across their country. The new service will, I'm just reading this to you guys, but the new service will initially roll out in 14 areas of the country with up to 175,000 women set to benefit from this additional support every year. So other countries are giving this service away. Do you see, or making this part of the regular routine for women? Do you see this happening in the United States? Or that may be too politically charged. Let me think of this a different way. Would this benefit us in our country to do something like this?
I think definitely it would benefit. There's not a ton of research on this, but I always think that if we were seeing women during pregnancies or like immediately after childbirth, instead of like when you go to your 6-week checkup with your OB and they're checking to make sure everything's healed and like the tissues are healed, which is huge. You need to do that. You need to go to those appointments. But then they say, oh yeah, you're good to go. Like just continue on and resume your life. And it's like, well, the pelvic floor just went through a marathon of pregnancy, you know, a 9-month, 10-month thing of pressure and baby kind of sitting in that area. Then you have a baby, whether it's vaginally or with a C-section, and both affect the pelvic floor differently. And they do both affect the pelvic floor, though.
I was going to back up to that comment. So a cesarean affects the pelvic floor as well?
Yes, because first, baby's still there sitting on the pelvic floor for 9 months. So right. You still have that component. A lot of people that have C-sections have actually been through some stages of labor. and maybe even some of the pushing stage, which can affect the pelvic floor. But then when they cut the pelvic, or when they cut the abdomen for the C-section, they cut a muscle that works directly with the pelvic floor. So there's a muscle in the abdomen transverse abdominis. When you activate that muscle, pelvic floor should do like a Kegel and activate. And when you relax that muscle, it should do the opposite. And they cut that. So then you have an incision and a scar there. And then you're sent home and you have to pick up your baby and do all these things that kind of create increased pressure in that area. And the abdominals now are weakened. And sometimes the pelvic floor kind of takes the brunt of that support, which can kind of weaken the pelvic floor a little bit more. So yes, definitely C-sections still affect the pelvic floor. But anyways, when you go to your like 6 week appointment and then they say, oh yeah, you can go back to like whatever you were doing before. Mm-hmm. Usually your body's not ready for that. It's mm-hmm. your pelvic floor is not ready for that. You haven't done anything to kind of help train those muscles for that. And so I definitely feel like if we were to see women postpartum, every woman, I would love that. Every woman postpartum, whether you feel like you need it or not, do like a very thorough core assessment, hip assessment, pelvic floor assessment, kind of all the muscles that affect the pelvic floor, what that would do for women later on. I always wonder like, oh, would they have less incontinence? Would we have, I mean, you would think that we would have so much better outcomes when women go through those menopausal changes because their muscles will be stronger. They know how to exercise them. Maybe they still need a refresher from a pelvic floor therapist, but the body remembers so much that, you know, you'll be so much further ahead because you're like, oh, I've already done this. It might've been 20 years ago, but mm-hmm. I did do this at some point and I kind of remember what that was and can kind of start there. So I always wonder like just how, if we were to see every woman after having a baby or if they have pelvic floor problems in them, it doesn't always just have to be baby. It could be, you can have pelvic floor baby problems if you have chronic constipation or like those kinds of things. But if we were to see you early on in the lifespan, how later on in the lifespan, if you would not have as many of those problems.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Rihanna, this has been simply amazing. I'm like, wow. I learned so much in our brief time together. Thank you so much for sharing.
Yes, it's been really good.
It has been.
Super passionate about pelvic health. So.
I know, you are, but I'm passionate about all these subjects because as I age, I'm thinking, man, why didn't someone tell me this earlier? And as you just said, the body remembers things like, what if after each of my three children, I would have taken the time to go to a pelvic floor therapist or even known to go to a pelvic floor therapist? And then as I'm aging, I would now be saying, someone help me, please. Or the other person that I'm thinking of wouldn't be in a scenario where they're waking up all of the time. We just don't. We're ignorant to the information. It's not out there. And thank you for helping us share. I have two more questions for you. Yeah. So what are you reading or listening to right now?
So I'm currently actually really into reading about like birth outcomes in our country, because I think that's another issue of like, and I think that this kind of connects back to the point that we just made. I think a society, our Western kind of like medical practices have changed the way women have babies and give birth. And I just wonder if we were to provide like less medical interventions and do more natural, like holistic kind of things, such as teaching positions and opening up the birth canal and helping coordinate and relax the pelvic floor so that they can like get baby out better, how the pelvic floor would recover easier from that, and then how that translate into like later on. And so I'm really into, anyways, I'm reading some books about that, like Born in the USA. I've been watching some documentaries, The Business of Being Born, just kind of these things that like our medical system is doing that maybe isn't really actually standard of practice. And it's definitely not standard of practice in other countries and how that's affecting us as women. But then also I'm thinking of it from a pelvic floor standpoint and how it's affecting our pelvic floors. So it's been interesting.
I love that. How can folks find you?
Yeah, so I do have a website. It's Restore Pelvic Health Ohio. I am in the Warren, Ohio area, and I also have social medias on Facebook and Instagram. They're also Restore Pelvic Health Ohio. So I do, even if you're not local to the area, I do put like information out on my Instagrams and Facebooks about things that I'm treating, maybe treatment techniques, kind of things to try, and different like diagnoses that maybe people don't realize like we can help with. So you can always kind of get some of that information there. But yes, I'm in the Warren, Ohio area. I'd love to see anybody that needs seen for pelvic floor health, because it is so important. And it is life-changing.
It is. I'm hearing that. I'm hearing that. Once again, such an amazing conversation. Thank you so much for spending time with me today.
Yes, you're welcome.
Thank you everyone for listening to Hello Hot Flash, where we help you control the midlife change. Make sure to check out the show notes, where we will include links to all of the subjects that we covered today. Thanks again. Here's to your health. Hey, it's me, Stephanie Shaw, your host, and we are having a podcast download party. Hello Hot Flash podcast download day is here. If you enjoy our show and you want to keep the great content coming, help me spread the word. Share today's episode with coworkers, friends, and family, and ask them to download, subscribe, rate, and review the podcast on Apple. I appreciate the love. Here's to your health.